Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear baptized brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you think when you hear the words, "Behold, He is coming"? Are you filled with joy? Or in my case, my mother said, "You wait till your father gets home." Are you filled with a little bit of fear? Or perhaps you're wondering yourself, it depends on who it is. If it's my dad to bring punishment, I'm afraid. If it's Jesus to bring salvation, I rejoice. But listen to the prophet Malachi in chapter 3, verse 1. He says these words, "Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Thus far our text. God said that he was sending a messenger to prepare a way. Kind of think of it like Lincoln Road construction. If you're going to put a new road in, you got to send in the bulldozers first. You got to raise the low spots and lower the high spots. And hopefully in the end it's wide enough that more than three cars can go through at a time. But it's preparation. But in our case, we're not talking about bulldozers. We're talking about a man. And he's easy to pick out. His name is John the Baptist. He shops at Whole Foods where he buys locusts and wild honey. And he shops, I suppose, at Goodwill because of the camel hair robe and the leather belt around his waist. The son of Zechariah the prophet and his mother Elizabeth. And God sent John to tell the people that someone was coming. Someone special. And his message was easy. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's right over there. Can you see him? Behold, he is coming unto you." But who? Who was Malachi talking about preparing a way for? Oh, I think you already know. Sunday's coming, Christmas Day, his birthday. Is that enough hints? It's Jesus. The prophet says, "Behold, he is coming." It's like saying, "Behold, Christmas is coming." That's right. God was coming into the world as a gift to you and to me. A gift wrapped in human flesh. God's Son became a baby and was born of the Virgin Mary in the city of Bethlehem. Now wait a minute. His name would be Jesus, and his mother would hold him in his arms and then lie him in the manger where he would fall fast asleep. "Behold, he is coming," says the prophet Malachi. And on that night, the angels sang the praises of God. "Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. Emmanuel, God with us, is now here. Christ has come." See, but the question you should be asking yourself, but why did Jesus come into the world? What, did he just come into the world to see who was naughty and nice? Is that the plan of attack? We'll just find out who's good and bad and we'll sort them out and we'll be from there. No, he didn't need to come in the world to do that because he knows that we've been naughty. In fact, you and me, all of us, have not lived our lives in the way that God has called us to. It's called falling short of God's glory. Now, we are very good at it, by the way, because we can do that in our thoughts, the things we think, the things we say, and obviously in the things we do, and by the way, in the things that you don't do, we fall short of God's glory. We're naughty. There are times when we're angry at other people. There are times when we say things about other people, and behind their back, very much so. But there's other times when, well, the younger crowd here, you disobey your mother and father. There's other times when you obey them, but you do it unwillingly. And quite honestly, reluctantly. There are times when you and I are naughty and we complain about the coming of Christ, especially in the midst of a church. Is it Sunday again? For Pete's sakes, do we really have to go? Well, Jesus was not born to find out if we were naughty or nice. Check that off the list. He was what has not come into the world to give us what we deserve, because what we deserve, Scripture says, is eternal death. Jesus doesn't even come to give us a spanking, or give us a time out, or to yell at us for everything we've ever done wrong. It would take a while. Ike, that's all bad news. We'd be very much afraid of Jesus, even if it's the beady, beady baby Jesus. We'd have reason to be afraid if he was coming to punish us for what we have done. We haven't been good, for goodness sake. But listen, dear children of all ages, Jesus was born to give you good things that you don't deserve. You see, Jesus is the good news. And he came to bring it to you and to me. He came to bring peace on earth. So you don't need to be afraid of Jesus. Are you afraid of Jesus? The little baby Jesus in the manger? Well, you shouldn't be. That's what Malachi meant when he said the words, "The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Oh my, that's not the end of what happened any more than Christmas is the end of all that took place. And you and me and all the people that are gathered here and the people that aren't here, they need to hear about a Savior named Jesus born for them. But more than just an infant wrapped in a manger, a child that would grow into a teenager and into a man who would live a perfect life, a life that you and I can never dream of living. Jesus never sinned, and he always did what was right and good in the sight of his heavenly Father. See, that's really it. That's the amazing part about it. He paid the price for all the things that we have done. The wicked words of our mouths, the evil thoughts in our minds, he paid for it, not with a check or a credit card or even with PayPal. He paid for it with his own body, because he promised that he was going to when he entered into the world. Jesus took the place that we deserved upon the cross of Calvary, and he didn't get a spanking. He suffered even to the point of death on Calvary's cross. And by his death, you are forgiven. But lest I get too far ahead of myself, he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose again victorious. Though he had died upon the cross for the sins of the whole world, his body was placed into an earthen tomb. The earth could not hold his flesh. And he rose again victorious, and that's the good news that could ever be. So when I tell you, behold, he is coming, it's like saying, behold, Easter is just around the corner. You're not afraid of Jesus, are you? You shouldn't be, because he comes to bring you good news. So if this has all happened, and it has, what does it mean today when you and I say the words, behold, he is coming? Try this at home with your family. Sunday morning, get up and say, behold, he is coming. They'll think you crazy, but it's okay. Because you can say, because he promises to be present wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, and we got enough. He promises to be in our midst through bread and wine, under which is his body and blood. There he's present. Jesus is coming. Oh boy, it's really special when the pastor stands in front of us and says, you know what? As a called, ordained servant of the word, and the standing by the command of Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has come. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.